Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
When you look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. If you're one that writes in your Bibles, underline that statement, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. They're a part of life. Nobody's living a trouble-free life. If you talk to somebody and they say they've never been through anything ever, they're either lying or not serving the Lord. All right, because you can't serve the Lord and there not be opposition. The enemy is going to do his thing. As my dear friend, Dr. Mack tells me, if you're going to tote the ball, you're going to get hit. All right. So verse 4 says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, in other words, he's saying here, we weren't exempt of going through tribulation and having struggle and going through things. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear. In the Greek, that means I couldn't take it anymore. I don't know if it means that in the Greek, but it sounds good. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't take it anymore. I sent to know your faith. How was your faith? How was your faith in what context? Faith in the tribulation. Faith in a trial. Faith going through the fire. How was your faith when it was being tested? You know, sometimes our faith is where it ought to be when everything's right and we're in the light. But what happens when we're facing trouble? What happens when that faith is being tested? He says, I sent to know your faith. I wanted to know, where was your faith level? Where were you at right now in this tribulation? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain, or all the ministry of the word and all the exhorting and the encouraging, all would have been in vain if you'd have let the trial and the affliction and the tribulation move you out of the will of God. So Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and that's what he's dealing with. How has trouble affected your faith? Has it moved you? Has it moved you? That's his question here. And notice, he look at the words that he's using. Affliction, tribulation, trouble. This is all a part of the fire that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Now, there's a verse I want you to write down next to this verse, and it's John 16:33. And this is what Jesus said about in this verse. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So Jesus in John 16:33 says, okay, in the world, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be tribulation, but in me, you will have peace. I have overcome the world. So obviously, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is not the absence of trouble. In other words, I can have peace and still be going through hard times. I heard this years ago, and I don't know the source, but I wrote it down. And I'm going to tweak it because it says the godly man when he dies, and a godly man, I'm going to say saved man, or the born again. The born again when he dies enters into peace. Isaiah 57 verse 2. But while he lives, peace must enter into him. So we say when someone passes away, may they rest in peace. Well, they'll rest in peace if they were born again because they're with Jesus. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if we could see where they were, we'd be crying for ourselves. Why am I still here? But until that day that we enter into the presence of the Lord, enter into heaven, peace is something that's got to enter into us. But there are few believers that really understand what peace is. And I minister on this word quite often, but I still don't feel like I minister on it enough, because peace is not feeling good about a bad thing. Peace, biblically, in both Old Covenant and New, means wholeness. Wholeness. It comes from the Hebrew word shalom. That, as a matter of fact, it was one of the names of God, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Say that out loud. Jehovah Shalom. And Jehovah Shalom means God of peace. He's the revealer of peace. He is the source of peace. And that word shalom, peace, is actually translated wholeness. Wholeness. And you find the best definition of peace in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. As a matter of fact, we're real close, so why don't we turn over there and look at it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and you'll see the definition of peace, the biblical, God-ordained definition of peace. Watch it here in verse 23. Read it with me. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Stop right there. Wholly. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. Completely. This is going to mean so much to you in a few minutes. I promise it is, when this thing comes together, all right? He's saying the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body. Now that part I just read it with me, except emphasize the word whole. Ready? Read. Your whole spirit and soul and body. So now peace has just been defined that it is wholeness in what? How do you say it? Spirit, soul, and body. So if there's not a wholeness in my spirit, soul, and body, it's not peace. Now, I didn't make that up. I didn't write that. I didn't get that from Webster. I just showed you that in the Word of God. And if you've lived just a little while, you know that's true, because anytime there's not wholeness in either what you're thinking, anxiety, fear, worry, if there's not wholeness in your mind, your body can be at perfect health, but you're still troubled. And your mind, you know, everything's fine. You're not prone to worry. You have no anxiety. But now you're having this pain you're dealing with in your body. So it's always there in the mind. And now there's not wholeness because of what you're addressing in your physical life. And when you talk about the body, you're talking about the things that are needful to the body. Food, water, shelter, clothing, insurance, rent due. Come on, somebody. So you're talking about your job, you're talking about your finances, you're talking about your relationships, you're talking about everything physical. That's a whole lot in that package right there. When any of that's not right, now my mind's not at peace. And when you're out of the will of God and you know you're outside of his will, your spirit brings conviction, and you might be healthy and you might not have a thing in the world to worry about. But if you're not walking in the will of God, your spirit will convict you and convince you, and you are troubled until you get back where you belong. The point I'm trying to make is, if there's not wholeness in mind, body, and spirit, then you're not understanding peace. You're not seeing the fulfillment of peace, because biblical peace is wholeness. Everybody understand that? Wholeness. Now, ultimately, what trials do is they move the mind to make bad decisions. And that's what Paul was addressing there in that third chapter. Now, recognize, again, the counsel of our dear friend, Pastor Chandra in India, that these are letters, and we're bad about, you know, focusing in on a chapter or a verse. But if someone loved you and they wrote you a letter and it was 2 pages, you wouldn't read just one line. You'd look at that one line in the context of the whole letter. And this is a complete letter written to the church of Thessalonica. And just 2 chapters over in the same letter, remember, he's dealing with them not being moved in their trial. In the same letter, he says in verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how could this ever be? Verse 24 is the answer. Read it out loud. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Hallelujah. And since he told them, we're going through stuff just like you, he said, hey, brethren, don't forget about us. Pray for us too. Hallelujah. Now, verse 23 just defined what the peace of God is. It's wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. What I want to encourage you to do as we close out this series is I want to encourage you to look at whatever it is that you're dealing with and develop faith for complete wholeness, not temporary fixes. Listen, we're bad about running to temporary fixes that don't make the situation whole. And if you're having to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, even though Paul's not mad at you because you paid Paul, if you borrowed from Peter to pay Paul, you're still not whole, even though Paul might be whole. See, Paul got his money, but what Paul don't know is you got his money from Peter, so you're still in the same situation that you were with Paul, except now you're with Peter. Listen, believers, we've got to stop running to temporary fixes that don't bring wholeness when facing a trial. And I know we're prone to do that, but I want to encourage you today to believe God for wholeness. That's why I want to key in on this word wholeness. What does wholeness look like with what I'm addressing? What would make this thing whole? What would make it complete? What does wholeness look like? Not these temporary fixes. If the baby's crying and you give the baby a pacifier, then that might satisfy the baby for a minute until the baby realizes that pacifier ain't giving no milk. There's a comforting that comes from that baby when it sucks, because the mind says it's drawing something. But you can't give a hungry baby a pacifier for much longer before they realize I'm sucking, but I ain't getting no milk. It's a temporary fix so you can get the bottle ready. Well, quit believing God for pacifiers when he wants to give you the milk. Come on, somebody. That's the quote of the day. That right there, the quote of the day. Quit believing God for pacifiers when he wants to give you the milk. I think that's the quote of the day. I'll let you know later, all right? Let's go to Acts chapter number three. Let me show you an example of this. I love studying the word, seeing a truth, and then seeing examples of it, and then coupling that example with that truth. For me, that just kind of solidifies the whole thing. Like, oh yeah, now I see it. Because you know, it's one thing to hear the word and read the word and you say, okay, this is how I need to apply this in my life. God wants me to be whole. And then there's another thing when you see an example of it. Right? So let's look at an example of it in Acts chapter 3. And when you get over there, just say amen. Amen. Now, let me ask this question, because I don't want to move too fast. Everybody understand what peace is? So anytime you're reading the Bible and you come across the word peace, what are you going to think? Wholeness. 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 If you're not thinking wholeness, you're missing it. Because folk will misuse peace. They make bad decisions that go against the word of God. Say, well, I had peace with it. No, you had a fraction of peace. Because we make decisions that satisfy our flesh just to make the mind at ease. But we have to end up paying for that decision later, and that's not peace. That's why you don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry. You know you spend more money if you go in there hungry. That's why you don't get online and go shopping when you're depressed. You run your whole credit card up. Why? Because you need some satisfaction for the trial that you're in. You just need some relief. You're like, oh, that looks good. I need that. I deserve that after what I've been through with my credit card. You pull the credit card out. Yeah, I'm getting this. Next thing you know, all these boxes showing up, and then your spouse come in and say, baby, when in the world did you order this? Oh, the other night when I was depressed. How many of y'all have ever done some depressed shopping? Lift your hand. If you've ever done some depressed shopping, look around the room. You are not alone. You are not alone. So, man, if you're feeling down, you need to just turn Wi-Fi off and close the computer and close the laptop. Don't get on, because, man, you'll do some crazy stuff. Because you're looking for some kind of satisfaction to resolve this other thing you've got going on, and that's not wholeness. Amen. I don't know who I'm talking to. All right, watch this in Acts chapter number 3. When you get there, say amen. Because the enemy, see, he wants you to be moved and make some bad decisions while you're in the fire. we will make some silly decisions when we're going through some stuff. Decisions we would have never made if we were in complete peace, if we'd have prayed about it. And before this message is over, I'm gonna give you four ways to weigh a decision. I'm gonna give you four things, not anything new that I haven't shared before, but I'm gonna give you four things to weigh. That way you make sure you don't make bad decisions when you're going through the fire. Faith in the fire. Watch this in Acts chapter 3. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 1 so we can see it in context. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. This man has never walked. He's been lame since he was born. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. Alms are a third way we give. We honor God with tithes. That's his. Well, actually, there's four. But we honor God with a first fruit. First fruit is the first fruit. If you get a new job, the first fruit of that goes to the Lord. You can honor the Lord with a first fruit at the beginning of a year. This is the first fruit, first income I've got this year. Honor the Lord with that. Then it'd be like the first. And then the tithe is every tenth after you've honored God with the first. So every tenth belongs to God. And then you have an offering, and that's what you offer God above the tithe. They'd be like me coming over your house. You say, Pastor, can I offer you a glass of water? Can I offer you some sweet tea? Can I offer you a piece of pecan pie? I say, you got some pecan pie? Yeah, I got that too. Bring it on. All right? So it's an offer. So an offering is, Lord, I want to offer you this. And then you have an alm. And an alm is a gift that's extended to the poor. And so here's this man laid at the gate of the temple where people would be coming in with money. Because they're going to honor the Lord with tithes, our first fruits, our offerings. So they got money going in the temple. It's a good place to be. And so the man laid right there at the gate. And he's not seeking anybody's tithes, offerings. He won't. And they're what? An alm. Give me an alm. Give me a gift. It's a gift to give to the poor. An alm. The reason folk need to know this is because I've heard people say, well, I haven't brought my tithes in because my aunts needed help, and I've been using my tithe money to help her out. Now, you the tithe is the Lord's. If you help out your cousin, that's an alm. Yes. Two amens. Okay, all right. Well, don't change it being true. All right, so, and I let me tell you the best one I ever heard. Somebody told me, said, Pastor, doesn't the tithe go to the house of the Lord? I'm like, yes. Well, aren't we the temple of the Lord? And I said, yes. Well, I'm using the tithe on myself. I said, you see it? And they were looking at me with a straight face. I said, okay, what you say? I'd never heard that one. Yeah. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now imagine if you're sitting at the gate and your only livelihood is to receive alms, and you have people that are carrying you there and setting you there. I'm getting the feel that this thing could have actually been being used to make somebody else money. Is it, Pastor Brian, help me with this. Is it Tanzania that we were at that you're not allowed to give alms because people, the kids especially, are being, for lack of better words, pimped, where they're put out there and they have masters and they're just using them? Is that Tanzania? So Tanzania, you can't give an alms, you go to jail. And so, man, we were in Tanzania and these kids running up, and I'm going in my pocket, Pastor, I said, Pastor, don't do it. Like, I got to feed the children. It's like, nah, there's somebody across the street right over there. And sure enough, there was an officer right there. And there were merchants in the street selling stuff. And they would just be watching all the time, making sure you weren't giving anything. It's against the law. Because they're trying to cut down on people being used as pawns, these kids being used as pawns, just to give somebody money, and the kid never even gets the money. So we don't know what's going on right here. Are y'all following me here? I'm trying to get in the story here. We don't know what really might be going on this man that's laying here that's asking for alms. Does he get all the alms? Is that given to somebody that brought him there? What's happening with the money? All right, so watch this. If the man is sitting there and he's seeking alms, and all of a sudden Peter and James said, hey, look on us. What if you walked up to, and there's a man laying there that's homeless. You say, hey, look at him. Because we wouldn't say, look on us. We're from Louisiana. We say, look at him. So, look at him. That's the translation of look on us. Look at him. Y'all just have to forgive me. I'm country. All right, here we go. Don't let the soup fool you. I'm going to take this off in about 4 hours. Here we go. He said, look on us. And he gave, verse 5, and he gave heed unto them. Let's read verse 5 out loud. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So if you're going to say, look at him, you must have something for me. So he's like, what do you have for me? Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Let me tell you what he's really saying. Silver and gold you don't need. He's not saying necessarily silver and gold have I none. No, we're broke. Silver and gold you don't need. Silver and gold you don't need. Silver and gold hadn't got you out of this situation. Silver and gold hadn't prevented you yet from being laid back at this gate again. If I gave you silver and gold today, you'd still be back here tomorrow. Because either the silver and gold is not resolving your situation, or you're not even getting the silver and gold. You're just being used as a pawn. But silver and gold you don't need. See, it almost looks cold-hearted, doesn't it? Silver and gold you don't need. See, if somebody comes to you for silver and gold, but they have no wisdom with silver and gold. Then they say, well, you know, I need this money for this. Well, what happened to the money that you made? Didn't you get paid Friday? Well, yes. Well, what'd you do with that money? Well, I did this. Where'd that Apple Watch come from? Oh, I bought it. And you coming to me for a loan? I don't have an Apple Watch. That watch I heard is real smart. Oh, yeah. Well, I told y'all we're going to give you this money. Y'all are clowning today. The point is that would not make him whole. And you can give somebody that doesn't know how to manage a thing all the things in the world, but it does not make them whole. We have to be in the fire and say, Lord, I want wholeness in this. I don't want a temporary fix. Don't let me get to a place where I'm satisfied with something that'll get me by till next Friday. No, that's not good enough. I know you want wholeness. I'm telling you that the Lord's will in the fire is not a temporary fix that just buys you days or weeks. No, he wants there to be wholeness in your life. That's his plan. He's a God of wholeness. So we'll believe God for the mortgage money, and God says, I want you to own the house. We're saying, Lord, give me a peanut, and he's saying, I want you to own the factory. So he said, look on us. And he looked at him expecting to receive something. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But watch this. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, now you've got to the source. Now you've gotten to the root. The reason he's in the position begging for an alms is that he can't walk. Wholeness would be him being able to walk. He's saying, we've got to get you whole. You'll never be able to walk in victory. You'll never be able to have wholeness in this state that you're in. And so watch Peter address the root of his problem. See, listen to me. Let me say this to you another way. We can't come to church and let church be our high, our spiritual high that makes us forget a bad week. And then we go through a bad week again, but we're gonna go to church on Sunday, and then we're gonna brag about how we had church. We had church today. But it didn't change the way you were living through the week. And so you go back to a rough week, and you're like, well, if I can just make it to Sunday. And then we had church again. That's like the pacifier. I need something at church. I need something when I get here that I can apply to how I'm living, to how I'm treating my spouse, to how I'm raising my kids, to how I'm managing my money, to how I'm dealing with these folk in the world that hate me. I need something that I can apply to my life, that when I look back over my life, I see the change, and that God made me whole mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, that I am not who I used to be as a result of this word. That's what we need when we gather together. We don't need any more quick fixes.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.